Praise God. Let me just say something to you about the subject that we've been considering, and that is lives that are lived for the glory of God. We've talked a little bit about that in these days. There are a number of verses in the Bible that specifically instruct us as to how to glorify God in our lives. And the other day we talked about praise. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And then there are other things that we touched upon, that we're to glorify God in our bodies and our spirits which belong to Him. And tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about fruitfulness, that we glorify God by bearing fruit in our lives, by allowing the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in our lives. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Of course, that's where we would go first. John chapter 15. It's a familiar passage to us because there's such rich blessing in these passages. That's why they're so familiar to us, because the Holy Spirit brings us back to them over and over and over again. And He speaks to us and feeds our souls with the bread from heaven. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, Jesus said. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. It's not fulfilling its purpose. But every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide or remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, showing yourselves to be my disciples. To this is my Father's glory. In the NIV, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The fruit that Jesus is talking about is evidence to others that we belong to Him, showing ourselves to be His disciples. People ought to see a difference in us if we say that we follow Jesus and that He lives in our hearts. We heard about that tonight, and that people ought to see that we're different. And if they don't, then we need to do some heart searching and some dealing with God over His word. Here it says fruit. God wants us to bring forth fruit. And then it says more fruit. And then it says much fruit. God wants us to keep being fruitful throughout our lives. Throughout our lives, He wants to keep changing us, molding us and making a way for His glory to be displayed in our lives, in and through our lives. Now, when you talk about fruit in the Bible, it sometimes means souls for the Lord, right? We when we pray that God will give us fruit, we're thinking about souls that will be saved and come into the kingdom. Often it's talking about the change in character, where the beauty of Jesus is seen in us, where He delivers us from the flesh, and He imparts His own nature to us, and people see Christ in us by the love that we show, by the changes that He's made in us, by just the way we live in His presence. I was looking up this subject, and I think it's in Psalm 127, it says that the children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. And so there it's talking about bearing children and bringing them into the world, that is fruit. And then I turned over to Psalm 92 and it says, and they shall still be bearing fruit in old age. And that scared me for a second. Children are fruit, they'll still be bearing fruit in old age. Well, maybe not naturally speaking, but spiritually we can do that, can't we? Praise God. But let's look at this subject a little bit more. Bearing fruit. Psalm 1 talks about they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And what's that tree going to do? It's going to bear fruit in its season. You know, there are different seasons in our lives, and you know, God knows the beginning from the end, and he's in no rush. He knows how to change us. He knows how to make us like Christ. And there are times when he deals with us about one thing and makes some changes there, and then he moves on to something else that perhaps we weren't ready to experience yet. And he keeps building on what he does. I like to think of that, you know, sometimes when I pray for people's birthdays, I say, Lord, let everything that you've done for them up till now just be a preparation for the wonderful things now that you want them to experience in the new year that you've given to them. You know, God's always building on what has gone before. And throughout our lives, we see that. There are some things I'm not ready for. There are some changes, maybe, that I'm not yet ready for. But God is making changes in me now that will prepare me and lay a good foundation for me to experience greater fruitfulness in my life. More fruit, and eventually much fruit. And so we want to just keep going forward, believing God to do his wonderful work. And it tells us there that that individual who bears much fruit, he's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. When we read about rivers of water in the Bible, it often speaks to us of the Holy Spirit. Water for washing is the word of God, and water for drinking often is a picture of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 46, we read about that river that flows among the people of God, that river of life. We recognize that the Lord's talking to us about his presence, the presence of his Spirit in our hearts, and that we experience when we come together in his name. And here, he talks about the law of the Lord, that he meditates in it day and night. If you want to be fruitful, you've got to get the Word of God into your heart. Not just into your mind, but it's got to get down into your heart. You've got to meditate on the Word of God. You read something and then you say, Lord, now why is that in the Bible? What are you trying to say to me? Help me to understand. Give me spiritual understanding. And show me how to apply that to my life. You know, that helps to make your life fruitful. When you take the Word of God by faith, and you look to God to show you how to live it out in your everyday life. I often pray that for our people after we preach to them on Sunday morning, or maybe they go to Sunday school class. Okay, now Lord, help us now to continue to think about these things and show us how we can live it out when I go to my job, or when I go back into my home, or that situation that is so difficult. Lord, let the Holy Spirit make his word alive and give me grace to live it out. And then it says here, he's by the water where the roots go down deep, and there's this constant drawing of life from that river. And so here we see the need for the Word of God to be a regular part of our life, and for a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
to be something that we seek and that we grow in. God doesn't fill us with his Spirit one time and then he's satisfied, but that's just the beginning of a life, experiencing more and more of his precious working in our lives. And so, the Word of God, we meditate in that day and night. How do you do that? How do you think about the Word of God all the time, every moment of the day and of the night? Well, I don't think that it necessarily means memorize scripture after scripture after scripture and then repeat it to yourself. But I think that it means that in every situation I find myself in everything I do, I go back to, what does the Word of God say about this? What would please Jesus? How am I supposed to respond to this? How am I supposed to view this thing? What's my attitude supposed to be? What steps of obedience should I take in this situation? In every relationship, in every situation, in everything that comes my way, I'm constantly wanting to please the Lord, wanting to obey him, do what I know his word tells me to do. And I'm reading the Word of God on a regular basis so I can learn what pleases him. And so I'll know what to do when situations arise. Praise God. We have other passages here that speak about fruit. And certainly in Psalm 92, it speaks about the house of God. Let's turn to that. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14. There it talks about going to the house of God and how that helps us to grow in Christ-likeness and allows God to produce in and through our lives the things that glorify him. Psalm 92, I have verses 12 through 14, and there it says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Amen. Praise God. You have to smile every time you read fat, right? And some of us are doing our best to fulfill. But here, it says, talks about the courts of the Lord, the house of God. Do you realize how important it is to be in God's house as often as he gives you opportunity? Not everybody gets hold of that, I've noticed over the years. You know, I can preach in my church every Sunday that coming to church once a week is not enough. If that's all you can do, then God will make up for that. But we need to get out again Sunday night. We have prayer meeting on Tuesday. Then there's Bible study on Thursday. We've got these four opportunities at least to be together in the house of God. But yet I find over the years, the same people that come Sunday night are the very same people that come Tuesday night. And they're the ones that come Thursday night. And everybody else comes Sunday morning. And no matter how much I preach about it, I can't get anybody else to come Sunday night, Tuesday night, or Thursday night. And I think, I don't get it. What is this, a select group, a special few that do this and others don't see their need of that? Now, I don't know people's schedules, and I leave that with God. It's not for me to decide what meeting they're supposed to be in. I would like them to be in all of them, of course. But it's my responsibility as a minister to emphasize to them the importance and the value of being in God's house as often as we can. Because the Bible tells us that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together like some do, but we ought to meet more and more as we see the day approaching. But it seems like it's getting less and less. Everywhere you go, they're closing Sunday night meeting. One meeting on Sunday is enough. Sunday night is family night. And so the family gathers around the television and lets all the filth of the world flood their home. Well, I don't think that's what God had in mind. I don't think that's what family night's supposed to be. Yes, it's important to spend time with your family. We ought not to neglect that. And yes, I'm not saying TV is evil in itself, and we have to be discerning, and so on. But one day I was standing, I may have mentioned this, I know I mentioned it recently at home. If I mention it here, bear with me again. I remember Sister Bowers. She and her husband pastored the church in Canarsie for 28 years before us, and I served under them for 10 years. And I was standing on the front porch of the church, the front stoop of the church, after meeting one night, and she turned to me and said, "Kenneth, we need to keep Sunday night meetings open." And she said, "Because there's going to come a day when people are going to see their great need of God, and they need to find a place to have a place where they can come and meet Him, a place prepared for them, where the presence of God has been maintained and people are seeking God, and they can come and find their place among them." I don't know if she said all those words, but that's how I understood what she was saying. And that was before the days when all Sunday night meetings were closing up. You know, I go on vacation. We go to church Sunday. We like to find a church. It's the only chance a minister gets to go just to another church when you're on vacation. Otherwise, you're in your own church, and you should be there. But I could never find a Sunday night meeting. I was in Williamsburg, Virginia, and I was so happy to see that they were gathering together on Sunday night. And I got there. It was game night. And they weren't playing any of the games I liked anyway. I was so disappointed. I didn't want game night. I wanted Jesus night, right? And I don't know. Sometimes when I talk this way, I hope I'm not giving the wrong impression. I'm really a nice guy at heart. And people have their reasons. But I just know that I just long. I long to see people get help from God as we come together in His presence. I know that God could do so much for certain ones if they would just get out to church more. Sometimes I hear things that are said in little meetings, and they're so precious. And then the Lord moves in such wonderful ways, pours out His Spirit at the altar. He comes to us. And I think, oh God, this is so wonderful. I would love for so-and-so to be here. I know they've got so many problems in their home right now. This would be such a blessing and an encouragement to them. But they're not here. They're not here. Well, God will do something about that, I know. He's working in the hearts of our people. And it seems like everywhere, you know, the Sunday night meeting is small, much smaller than the Sunday morning meeting. So I think in Canarsie, percentage-wise, we're doing pretty good. Because our Sunday meeting is small, so Sunday night we got maybe half the people. Who knows? That's not the point. The point is that we need to. We flourish in the courts of the Lord when we come to His house. And so that's important. And then we look at Hebrews chapter 12. And there it talks about another thing that helps us to be fruitful. And it's not so pleasant, but it's essential. It talks about chastisement, correction, going through difficult times and learning valuable lessons. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens, right? Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. In the NIV, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised or trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. You know, the writer to the Hebrews was addressing people that were going through real persecution, and it was difficult for them. They were living for the Lord, and society had turned against them, and he wrote to encourage them, and he said, you know, God has his hand in this. God will use these difficulties in your life to make wonderful changes in you. And so be encouraged. Don't give up. Strengthen your weak hands and your feeble knees, and learn the lessons that God's trying to teach you, and let God work the changes in you that he wants to work. You know, sometimes we go through hard times in life, and we don't want those times to be in vain. I said, Lord, I don't want to go through this, and nothing was accomplished. That's horrible. If I have to go through this, Lord, produce something. Let some good come out of it. Let me learn my lesson. Let some change be wrought in me. Difficult times get us on our face before God. Difficult times help us to reorder our priorities. And things that were so important to us don't mean anything in that difficult time that we're going through. And we need help from God. We need peace. We need direction. We need strength. We need healing. And so we call upon the Lord. And as we call upon him, not only does he give us what we're asking for, but as we heard the other day, he does exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And we find afterwards he's produced something precious in our life. He's made a change. We're more like Jesus. We're more filled with his glory. He's reflected more clearly in our life as a result. And so the Word of God, the presence of God, the house of God, and God's correction and his discipline all work together to make our lives more like him. Our character is changed. I mentioned the other day that we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. In other words, it becomes natural to us to be like Jesus when the Holy Spirit takes over in our lives. Just as natural as it was for us to be sinners when the sinful nature was in charge. Now, Galatians 5, and I'll close with this. Galatians 5 delineates the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is just a picture of Jesus, isn't it? It's just like 1 Corinthians 13, when we read about love. Love is patient, love is kind, and so on. That's a beautiful picture of Jesus. He's the personification of every one of those things that are mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 13. And here in Galatians chapter 5, when it talks about the fruit that the Spirit produces in our lives, it says there that the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'm trying to find it. I should have it memorized. The fruit of the Spirit, 5:22, is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise God. God's producing, it's his desire to produce this fruit in our lives as we abide in him, as we maintain our relationship with Jesus. We find that everything that God wants to do in our lives, it all flows from that relationship. And when the relationship is not what it should be, the fruit is not what it should be, the works that he wants to produce in us are not there as they should be. And so then we have to get back to God and get back into right relationship with him. We have to learn how to keep close to Jesus, how to keep in his presence, how to keep in faith. And as we learn to abide in him, then we find that changes are wrought for his glory. It was so nice to see Bethany. I knew her as Kivusalu. I don't know what your last name is now.
Hickey.
Say that again?
Hickey.
Hickey. Okay, that's easier to remember than Kivusalu.
Yes.
Thank you. And I saw her come on the grounds today with her mom, and then all of a sudden I saw her. I felt like Jacob. Who are these? All right, he said that to Joseph. Who are these little ones? And she told me all their names, and I thought, wow. Shows you how long you haven't seen a person when the last time you saw them, they were single, and now they've got four beautiful little children. You know, we don't see the changes as coming as readily as we like to in our lives. But you know, other people, they see that God's working in you, and God uses them to encourage us. I see that in people that maybe they don't even see it in themselves. But I see that God's been working. In our young people at church, I see God's working in them. Now, they may be so taken up with, there's more, and I'm not all that I should be, and that's all they're taken up with, and they don't see what God is doing. I hear it in their prayers. I see it in the way they treat one another. I see it when they come to church and they worship the Lord. And when they ask questions about his word, and you can tell that they're really thinking about it. God's really speaking to them. And we see that in one another. And we need to encourage one another, as we heard our brother Bruce say. We need to encourage one another. God's working in you. Don't give up. God's making changes. You're not what you were. No, you're not all that you can be and should be, perhaps yet. But we're not what we used to be. But God, we're in his hands. And the pleasure of the Lord prospers in his hands. So let's make sure we keep ourselves in his hands. And God will be sure to produce something in our lives that glorifies and pleases him. Praise God. And it'll be a life well lived when we live to serve him with all our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. A brother asked for a song tonight. Usually when one person asks, then someone else taps on your shoulder a few minutes later, and they ask for one too. But I think this one goes right along with some of the things we've been talking about, and it's entitled, Christ Liveth in Me. And that's where the fruit comes from, Jesus living in us. And that's number 91 in our white book. And so let's stand together and sing that in closing. And then if you'd like to wait on God and deal with him about some of these things that we've heard tonight, well, let's take time to do that and then retire as he leads us.
Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see. But in God's word, the light I found, the Christ lived in me. Christ lived in me. Christ lived in me.
Oh, that God would put that longing in our hearts to be like Jesus. God can do that for you. Put a real longing, real cry in your heart. Oh, God, make me like you are. Let Jesus be seen in my life, Lord. The world doesn't need me. The world needs Jesus in me. And, Lord, I just pray that you, who put that cry into my heart, will satisfy it with your own presence and glory. Let's sing that, and let's believe for that longing to be strengthened in every one of us.
With longing all my heart is filled, that my delight may be as a heart is not on the
us, please.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are willing to come in and live in us.
Yes.
In all your wonderful love and glory and presence. And we just pray, Jesus, that we will leave this place with more of you.
Yes.
Those that are going, we're asking, Lord, that you'll come in a greater way.
Yes.
And those that are staying, that you will work in every one of us to take your place in a greater way in us and through us. In your name we ask it for your glory. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Let us continue to look to him.